When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the IDP Bets Show. My name is Johnny the Greek. This is episode 2. Good to see everyone. Hope everyone's having a good week. I am joined, as always, with Adam Markham at Adam IDP. He is the number one dynasty ranker for all of IDP. That is undisputed. He is also a podcaster and a known degenerate. Adam, how are you, sir?
I am doing so good, especially now. We got a bigwig in the house tonight, Johnny.
We do. Very special guest this week, Mr. Justin Varnes at Down with IDP. He is an IDP analyst for fantasypoints.com. You can hear him on Sirius XM Radio, Guru in the Morning, in the next few weeks here. Justin, how are you?
Doing well. It's funny, the irony of being a big wig and having zero wig. The irony was not lost on me. Man, I'm so excited to be on this show. Like, I'm such a big fan of the IDP show, and Johnny, obviously you and I go way back, have been on many podcasts and good old Twitter conversations. Happy to be here, man. I'm so glad that we've got IDP props to talk about. This is one of my, we all love IDP, it's been great to dive into the betting world and get to use some of our powers for good as opposed to evil like normal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, we are honored to have you, dude. I mean, you have been absolutely crushing it this year, every year. But if you're not familiar with Justin Varnes, I mean, Fantasy Points, one of the best fantasy websites in the industry. Some of the best people doing it over there. I'm a huge fan of Scott Barrett. Really cool you get to rub elbows with him. But yeah, I mean, Varnes just does awesome work over there. Make sure you check it out. You very graciously gifted us a sub and just an awesome website, dude. And a huge edge for DFS and if you're into that type of stuff as well.
Yeah, man, really excited to be on the show. Looking forward to it.
All right, good stuff, gentlemen. Let's get right into it. We're going to do about 3 apiece here. We'll go round robin. And let's start with our special guest, Mr. Varnes. What do you got for us in week 10?
All right. Well, one of my favorite games really on both sides of the ball this week is that Detroit Chargers game. We've got a ton of offense on both sides. I think there's some really good bets here. I want to start with Brian Branch, safety for the Lions. I think this kid is a star in the making. He plays all around the field for them. He already has won me a couple of bets, hitting a couple of overs earlier in the season. Got injured, came back in week 7, only played half the time as they kind of got him ramped back up. Then in week 8, he played 100% of the snaps, posted 6 tackles, but that was against a Raiders offense that barely could get off the ground, as we've all been watching that whole dumpster fire occur. But they only produced 46 snaps against the Lions, and Branch still got up to 6 tackles. So when I saw that his prop this week came out as over 5.5 tackles and assists at just -130 on DraftKings, I was all over that. Number one, I just think even in neutral matchups, he should be above 5, but particularly here against the Chargers. They've been a tackle haven for safeties. They've been creating about 14 tackles per game just to safeties. He's back to be fully healthy, they're going to use him a ton. Remember that they don't have a ton of linebacker help around Alex Anzalone. So he does get a lot of work in the box. So I really like him this week against the Chargers team that shouldn't have should do a lot better than 46 snaps against the Lions this week.
Yeah, that's a great call. I mean, you got to figure that he's going to play a ton of slots. I mean, he could be covering Keenan Allen quite a bit, who's going to get peppered with targets. Also likely going to be covering Austin Eckler a good amount. So, I mean, he's going to be covering those main playmakers. But, yeah, in the games where he's played at least 70% of the snaps, he's gone over six tackles in each of those games. So that's been three games this year. So Brian Branch, he's going to be a stud. I've been comping him to Buda Baker a lot on the IDP show. Yeah.
I love that, Adam. I totally agree.
Yeah, that's a great game you selected, too. It's funny. We talked about this before hitting record. We've all got plays from this game. You know, 49-point over-under, two top 10 offenses indoors. Like, it's literally perfect. It's that's a great bet. I love that. Mr. Markham, how about you, sir? What do you got?
All right. I'm looking at the Denver Broncos and Buffalo Bills matchup. And while I think this could be a juicy one for the entire Buffalo D-line, my favorite play of the bunch is Greg Rousseau, over 0.25 sacks at plus 175 odds. So despite not having a sack in his last four games, Rousseau is still playing at a pretty high level. His PFF grade ranks 16th best among edge defenders, and his pass rush win rate ranks 33rd. His 14.1% pressure rate is the highest among his Buffalo teammates, and ranks 31st among all edge defenders. Russell Wilson gets sacked 3.3 times per game, which is sixth most in the NFL, and that number has actually been up to 3.7 over the last three games. When you look at PFF's allowed pressure stats, Russell Wilson has been under pressure on 95 dropbacks this season, but 25 of those pressures allowed are credited to him. So this gives him the second highest QB allowed pressure rate behind only rookie Anthony Richardson. Wilson holds on to the ball too long and has a below average wide receiver room. So I think Denver's going to have to pass to stay in this game. So I think that's going to give plenty of opportunity for Rousseau and all his buddies. What do you boys think? And plus, those are just great odds. You know, I know he's been cold, but just a really good matchup, good player. And you know how it goes. Like, these guys are aware that they haven't had a sack and a month, you know. I feel like he's gonna be trying to get after it, try and correct that. So I'm going through so here.
Adam, I love your focusing on his plus odds. Like, there are great odds because, you know, as everybody on this stream knows, when it comes to getting sacks, like converting sacks to pressure, you know, pressures to sacks, it is a crapshoot to a certain extent. I mean, what you can, you know, we look at those peripherals, like pressures and stuff, to see if they're doing all the right things to get to the quarterback. And sometimes an elite player will go three games without a sack. And then the next game they'll get, you know, two or three or sometimes five sacks. It's not as clean as one sack per game. It's just not how the game of football goes. So anytime we build up that, that drought, and that's going to turn into positive odds. I mean, just that alone makes me like this bet. Anytime I've got an elite edge rusher who's given me positive odds, I'm usually taking that, because over the long haul, at least kind of here early on in the first couple of years of me doing this, that has paid off. I love that Russo's got a great matchup. Defensive line alone, the Broncos are giving up more than two sacks per game to a defensive line. Obviously, this should be a game where they'll get to go after Russell Wilson quite a bit. And, in general, we also need these edge rushers to be on the field enough, right? Some are only logging 20, 30, 40% of the snaps, but Rousseau has been over 50% of the snaps for every game, but the last one, against Cincinnati. He's normally in the 60 to 70% range. I've seen he's getting a lot of snaps. That's that many more reps where he's going to be able to generate pressures. I love this bet. I got to be honest with you, even if it doesn't hit, I just think that the math of that, I'm all for.
Yeah, I'm with you on this also, Adam. Really good stuff. And the 0.25 is huge because that can be a difference between DraftKings and FanDuel too. I got hosed with that on Jermaine Johnson last week. I think it was Jermaine. It might have been Bryce Huff. Whoever had the half sack for the Jets last week, it hit in DK, didn't hit in FanDuel. So the 0.25 is massive. That's really good stuff right there. And just other kind of outside factors, the Bills need a get right game. They haven't had a proper we're the Bills, we need to kick the crap out of you type game in a while. And Denver is looking like that, you know, could be the one. So I like that. I like the plus money as well. Like Justin said, that's good stuff. Beautiful. A couple of good ones to start. I am also targeting the Chargers and Lions game because it is absolutely beautiful. I'm going to go with a cornerback. That should be no shock to anyone that knows me. So I'm going to go Asante Samuel Jr. over 3.5 combined tackles. It is -145, but as we talked about the last time we did this show, I'm not doing these as straight and I'm not doing these as parlays because, you know, a parlay, an injury, you know, just a bad week, whatever can screw you. I parlay round robin, which Adam mentioned earlier. And Adam, just real quick, are you a fan of that approach?
It's the best. I love it.
Yes. Parlay round robin is the way to go because you can still make a ton of money and you're not screwed if something happens. So I'm going to parlay round robin everything I talk about tonight and probably a couple few things these guys talk about as well. So Asante Samuel over 3.5 combined. He's hit this 6 of the last 7 games. And some of those games were against, you know, not the Detroit Lions in their top 10 passing offense. This is, as we mentioned before, a very high over-under that's indicative of a lot of offense, a lot of sustained offense. I think this is a back-and-forth affair. I think the Lions may have to pass a little bit more than they typically do. They're a very even, you know, 50-50 type team, right? Excellent. I think they're the number 6 rushing offense. I looked that up earlier today. Like, they've got a top 10 passing and rushing offense, and they're pretty much right down the middle with the split. But against this very powerful Chargers passing attack, they may have to pass a little bit more to stay with them. That helps Asante Samuel. I think 4 tackles out of Asante Samuel Jr. in this matchup is totally doable at -145.
Yeah, I like that one too. And I love that you mentioned how balanced the Lions are on offense, which they are. But even as a balanced offense, they produce 12 tackles to cornerbacks per game. Samuel will be in line for a good chunk of that. So I do like this bet as well. And it's hard to imagine that this is just going to be ground and pound for the Lions this week against the Chargers. So I also like this bet. I'm not scared of the -145 for the exact reason you said. And this is, there's a little, you know, we won't get too deep into the philosophy of this, but because right now some of these bets look so good, and a lot of us are hitting 60-70% on these, and particularly when you're doing round robin, there are just bets that it's hard to leave out there because even, you know, I think sometimes we can get too scared of that minus number. If we think it's going to hit, you know, if you guys aren't familiar with break even percentage, the listeners, make sure you check that out. It's a really good way to kind of break out, you know, break down whether or not the line you're looking at is actually favorable. Just because it's a big minus number doesn't mean it's a bad bet. And I think this Samuel bet is a great example of that.
Nice. All right, Adam, unless you got anything, we'll go on to number 2 for Mr. Varnes. Yeah.
No, love the calls.
All right, I'm going to stay with this just in keeping with the theme. I will break this for our last one, but I want to talk about that same game because something interesting has happened over the last couple of weeks with the Chargers linebackers. I want to talk about Eric Kendricks. Kendricks's prop is over 7.5 tackles at -120 on DraftKings. He gets a stellar matchup this week. because, you know, balanced offense, as we talked about, the Lions are the number two offense for creating tackles to linebackers. The way this defense shakes out is, even though Eric Kendricks doesn't play every snap, he, you know, he's normally in the 80-ish to 90-ish percent. He is in position to get a ton of tackles. I mean, even in games when he's not hitting, 100%, he's still usually getting, you know, 8, 9, 10 tackles. The really interesting thing is, I think this prop bet should be, I think it should be 8.5. The fact that it's 7.5 makes me like it more. Here's why I think it's a little lower than it should be. The last two games, Eric Kendricks has played fewer snaps. He's had lowered usage for the last two games in a row, but the entire defensive starters for the Chargers have all had fewer snaps because the Chargers have had back-to-back blowout games against the Bears and the Jets. So their entire defensive starters, they all got snaps off. So it all of a sudden looks like Kendricks has lost snaps. His production has been clipped a little bit, but that's, to me, mostly due to the matchup. I do not see a blowout in the Chargers' future this weekend. Vegas has the Lions -3. Johnny, as you were saying, we all think this is going to be a hotly contested game, a shootout. I'm pretty sure Kendricks is going to get a ton of snaps this week. So the fact that it's at 7.5 and not 8.5 makes me like this. This is a number that Kendricks has hit plenty of time this season. And being a phenomenal matchup against the Lions as it is, being the fact that it's a shootout and the fact that I think it's a one tackle lower than what it should have been is the reason I'm in on this bet. I also like all those factors, and it's only -120. I'm happy about that.
Nice. Yeah, no, agreed completely. The problem I'm running into with this particular matchup is that with a round robin, you can only take one out of the matchup. So like, right. I want to take Kendricks, Murray, Samuel, Branch, like all those guys and throw them in. But yeah, so I'll have to do a few different round robins. Love that call though. Adam, what do you think about that? And then what do you got for your second one?
I love it, man. I mean, I'm not really concerned about these. I mean, the thing with Kendricks is maybe he's also the snaps are down because he is coming back from that injury, you know, that he had early on in the year. So maybe they're just kind of being a little cautious with them early on. But even so, if he's going to get at least 80% of the snaps, I don't care. You know, we live in a world now where we can't always get these 100% of snap guys. Who cares? Eric Kendricks, 80%. That can easily be 10 tackles when the matchup's right. So, yeah, love that call. Speaking of kind of these part-time-ish linebackers, I'm going here with Anthony Walker, boys. Ooh, a surprise. I like to keep everyone on their toes. And the first episode, I led off with Kyle Van Noy, Justin. So that actually worked out. But
my heart just skipped a beat just hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah, your boy's wild, I'm telling you. All right, Anthony Walker here. Over 5.5 tackles plus assists. That's +105. So Anthony Walker's playing 70% of the snaps this season. So I know it's scary not going with the 100% of the snaps type guy. But, folks, this Baltimore matchup is just too good to ignore. I'm looking at the tackle allowed chart that our friend John Macri of PFF puts out every week. And Baltimore is number one in tackles allowed to linebackers, giving up 20 tackles per game to the position. Also, remember, Cleveland has already played Baltimore once this season. In that matchup, Anthony Walker played 70% of the snaps and finished with 6 solos and 3 assists. It's been a down year for Walker, and I think he's due for some positive regression in the second half of 2023. For his career, he's averaged 6.4 tackles per game and has a career tackle rate of 14.9%. For 2023, he's averaging just 4.3 tackles per game, and the tackle rate is 10%. I love this play, Anthony Walker. Over 5.5 tackles plus assist.
I was looking at this game basically for a lot of the same reasons you were, Adam. Just the matchup is incredible. And you know, I was staring at these three linebackers, or mainly two, you know, just Anthony Walker and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, and trying to decide which way to go. And I wanted, and I have some things where I'm gonna probably end up using, I've got both of them sprinkled in into some bets. I love the fact that because there is no locked in, quote unquote, every down linebacker, we get these lowered props. I mean, you're going to have a linebacker who's likely going to play 70 to 80% of the snaps, playing the number one offense for creating linebacker tackles, and his prop is only 5.5. I mean, that's, you know, there's a, if all goes well, there's a chance that this is going to hit before halftime. I mean, it's just possible. Right now, there is obviously that uncertainty because their snaps, you know, kind of run hot and cold, depending on a lot of factors, depending on defensive formations and whatever. But Walker is the most experienced. He's the most complete linebacker they have there in terms of veteran presence and all that sort of stuff. I'm pretty sure he's going to be on the field a good amount of time. So, yeah, I definitely like this one, too. He's just, again, here's what we've learned. The matchup is so important. And these offenses that continually load up with, you know, their offenses built to create action at the linebacker level. I mean, at some point, it's just, you know, as we said before, it's just a numbers game. And I think Walker's going to be out there for plenty of snaps to hit six tackles.
Yeah. It's funny you guys mentioned this because I was doing the same thing you're both talking about earlier today, staring at this game and looking at those two linebackers. And I almost went with Grant Delpit because I couldn't decide between the two linebackers. So I was like, maybe the safety gets it done. But Adam's convinced me. I'm doing it. I'm adding Anthony Walker. Love it.
I mean, you know, they're playing Baltimore, too. And it's like, of that group, who's the biggest dog? It's right, Anthony Walker, you know, I feel he's the captain. Like, I feel like this is a game for Anthony Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, they've already played, and Walker easily crushed this, you know, so we have direct matchup. He's, again, it's the numbers game. He's probably going to get the most snaps of the linebackers. The guy's going to get the most snaps against the team that creates the most amount of tackles on a prop bet that looks more like a safety prop as opposed to a linebacker prop. It's good stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Excellent stuff there. All right. Okay. So for my second one, I promise last time I'm going to talk about Chargers Lions. I'll move on after this, but Kenneth Murray at 6.5 combined tackles. It is -140, but once again, parlay round robin, you'll be fine. It just feels incredibly easy this week. So he's hit this 4 games in a row in 6 out of the last 7. The Lions are the 6th overall rushing attack in the league. They average about 131 yards per game on the ground. We just saw that breakout game from Gibbs a couple weeks ago. So they have talent on top of talent at the running back position, which is great for Kenneth Murray. This is, you know, we talked about this, one of the most balanced offenses in the league. All the good factors that we've already mentioned, high over under, no weather shenanigans, should be a highly contested game. Just when I saw 6.5, I just couldn't believe it was that low for Kenneth Murray. It's almost like it's reversed a little bit. Like they don't understand that Murray's been the guy this year. They still think it's Eric Kendricks.
Yeah. And Johnny, I really do. I mean, you know, I don't know for sure, but when I went back and tried to figure out why both of these guys' tackle props were a solid, I think Kendricks' tackle prop is one tackle too low, and I think Murray's tackle prop is two tackles too low. And I think it's because if you look at their usage over the last 2 weeks, it looks like they have been playing a lot less football, but it's because they were in blowouts. And I'm not sure however they run this algorithm to figure out you know, how to come up with this number. My guess is, however that happened, it wasn't factored in the fact that these linebackers were rested in a blowout and played fewer snaps than normal. And that's not going to happen this week.
Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah. All right. Adam, unless you got anything?
Love it, dude. Yeah, that was the one that stood out to me when I was looking at everything, you know, to start. I was like, what in the world? 6.5 makes zero sense. But yeah, I mean, there's usually one or two of those a week. Last week it was Devin White. I think he was like -5.5, 6.5, I believe. But yeah, this week it was, this fella right here.
Beautiful. All right, let's move on then to number 3, Mr. Varnes. What do you got?
All right. Well, I normally don't like to play overs that push into the double digits. In tracking even the bets that I don't make, I'm looking more and more for these rare opportunities because when you get the right linebacker, the right offense, et cetera, these are the games that often end up with 12 and 14 and 16 tackles out of a linebacker. So I've become less and less scared of getting to that double digit mark. And that's going to be Roquan Smith this week. He's his on DraftKings. He's over 9.5 tackles and assists. I love the odds at even. They're plus 100 odds at DraftKings. And that's one of the things that made me excited about this. You know, even without Nick Chubb, Cleveland is still producing a massive amount of tackles. They are still one of the top running offenses. That's just their offensive identity is to run the ball a ton. They're built for that. Their offensive line is built for that. And really that has not changed even without Nick Chubb. So a ton of action at the linebacker level. Smith has hit 10 plus tackles in 5 of his 9 games. Which is, you know, typically below my threshold for taking the over. But the fact that it's such a good matchup makes me want a piece of that, particularly when the break-even percentage is right at 50%. If I had to make this bet every week, I would absolutely make it. He's only got to hit over 50% of the time. And I'm feeling good about this. Great matchup. He played... Roquan Smith played the same matchup earlier this season, and he had 10 tackles. So just, you know, Adam, as you were talking about before, in this, you know, in the matchup, we've already seen this matchup once this week, and he hit the once this season. He's hit the over. Cleveland's known for producing massive tackles to linebackers. He's an incredibly talented linebacker. He's their primary tackler, their primary LB. He's going to play every single snap. All those things, particularly with plus 100 odds, makes me kind of break my rule and go for an over on a 9.5 tackle prop.
Yeah, and that's worked out a lot this year. You know, I mean, there's been so many of these dudes hitting these high tackle numbers. I mean, the Zaire Franklins, the Foyers, the Roquans, the Wagners. I mean, it's just, yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm not scared at all. I like this a lot.
Yeah, yeah, and good point you made there, too, about, what was it, 5 out of 9 games he's been into mm-hmm. the double digits. It could be more than that. When we factor in those two bloodbaths, Lions and the one last week where they played for a cup of coffee, came out in the third quarter or whatever, right? Like, that's production that was left on the field. That's points that we would get in a closer matchup, and you got to assume a healthy Deshaun Watson in a Cleveland team that's looking a lot better is going to be a better matchup, a divisional game too. Instead of just some NFC team that goes over to Baltimore and gets their brains beat out, you know, like, I like it. I'm adding that to my personal list here. I like it.
Hey, that's going to be a wild game, huh? I mean, what do y'all think is going to happen there?
Man,
that's 6-3.
I mean, you know, this is great because obviously Cleveland's defense is amazing. This is the Cleveland defense we've all been kind of waiting for. They've been trying to build this type of defense for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's finally all clicking. You know, Johnny, you mentioned Grant Delpit earlier. I think he's a big reason why this defense is clicking so well. But yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson, this is going to be the immovable object and the unstoppable force. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I actually would not. Yeah, I would not be surprised if it does turn out one of those like those old ass, AFC games where it ends up 6-3 or some, you know, like some like baseball score, like it somehow ends up like 9-5. You're like, how did that even happen?
Yeah. Safety, a field goal, three other field goals for the other side. Yeah.
That's it. Not a single touchdown, but yeah, we'll take all those tackles in between.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's like the number 3 and the number 1 overall defense, I think, facing off this week. That's going to be good. All righty, Mr. Markham, what do you got for number 3?
All right, I'm going Jordan Poyer under 7.5 tackles plus assist. That's minus 145 this week. He has been on fire over his last 3 games, racking up 28 tackles, which is good for 9.3 tackles per game. On the season, he has 52 total tackles, and he's averaging 6.5 per week. This is just a bad matchup. Looking again at John Macri's tackled allowed data, Denver ranks dead last in safety tackles allowed per game, allowing just 10.4 per week. Denver also is last in offensive plays per game, so tackle opportunities could be limited. I don't go under often, but this feels like a pretty good time to do so.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny how, you know, in a lot of other betting circumstances, it's, usually unders hit more than overs. There's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, people love to bet the over. It's way more exciting to bet the over than it is the under. And then obviously you have, injuries and whatnot. But so far in IDP this year, overs have easily outpaced the unders. I agree. I mean, this is another one of those things where, like, I'm not sure that the matchup is being weighted properly. I think the recent, I don't have all the numbers on this, but my feel for this in terms of how these props are coming out is that it's weighted a little too much in recent history and not enough in the matchup. And I know that the matchup is somehow factored in. We can see that as the numbers go up and down, but I'm not sure it's quite adjusted correctly. And I think this is a great example of that. Denver is just terrible against defensive backs, whether it be cornerbacks or safeties. And yeah, exactly. As Macri said, I mean, they're just not getting the ball that deep. They're not getting the ball out to the safeties. They're a terribly unproductive offense. Also, they're a terribly slow offense, and that is just the killer. So you have three factors working against you. Number one, the offensive identity is not getting the ball to the safety to safety depth very often. Number two, they are a slow offense and they are a poor offense. So I'm going to combine those two. That means it takes them forever to hike the ball in between, right? So they burn a lot of clock. And then when they do finally hike the ball, it's way too many three and outs. And all of a sudden, they're not staying on the field long enough to have value for the other side of the team. And number three, because there's such a terrible defense on the other side of the ball, that means Buffalo is likely to stay on the field even longer. So right. I think the time of possession is going to be so heavily weighted toward Buffalo that Poyer is just going to be sitting on the bench watching his team dominate and not out there getting enough tackles. And 7.5 is pretty high for a safety, particularly a safety like Poyer who doesn't spend a clear majority of his snaps in the box.
Yeah. Dude, I am so with you on this. People think I'm crazy when I talk about stuff like this, time of possession and game flow and game script. Yes. It is so true. I could see this already coming where they're down, 18 at halftime, quick third quarter touchdown for the Bills. And not only is Jordan Poyer going to rest at the end of the third quarter, but the Bills have dominated time of possession so completely that he's barely played to begin with. And it's against one of the worst offenses in the league, passing offenses. I think it was like 28th last time I looked. And they're one of the worst passing offenses in the leagues in terms of wide receiver targets. So who are they going to get it to at the safety depth? The tight end. I don't even know who their tight end is right now. Does that guy exist? This feels great. And that's a huge number too. 7.5. That feels like a Cincinnati number from last week.
Right.
Instead of a Broncos number this week. Yeah.
Good point, Johnny. Good point. You were talking about the whole time of possession and all that. If you own any San Francisco 49er IDP, You know, for example, Fred Warner is one of the best football players, not best linebackers. He's clearly that one of the best football players right in the game. But he doesn't typically rack up 12 and 14 and 16 tackles. You know why? Because his defense is barely on the field. Right. The San Francisco offense is dominant. Their defense is dominant. And they don't have to be on the field very much. They're very well rested. They don't play a ton of snaps. Year in, year out, Fred Warner doesn't play nearly the snaps as a lot of other linebackers on way worse teams who spend a lot more time on the field. And so that's kind of like the macro version of it. But when you really dial down here, Adam, I think you're on the nose. I mean, every single factor that we look at collectively to make these bets all point down. And, if that were 5.5, or if that were 6.5, I would probably still consider taking the under, but I'm definitely taking it at 7.5. I hadn't thought of that one yet. So if you don't mind, Adam, I'm going to tail that one this week. That's a great one.
Yes, sir.
Oh yeah. I'm stealing it too. Absolutely. I was looking at that for corners to go under on, but because Rasul just got there, it's kind of a mess. So I don't know who's going to be on Cortland Sutton. And that's the guy that'll get all the targets. See, this is where our brain goes with all these things, right? You could see it going out. But great call, Adam. Love it.
Hey, also, one last one. I saw we think that Buffalo is going to dominate time possession. Josie Jewell's at -6.5. So I've thrown that one into a round robin. I know that him and Singleton's roles have kind of switched. But, I mean, it's still like he's still getting like 80%. So who cares? He can easily get that.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I'm going with as well. I like Jewel for all the reasons we're talking about with Anthony Walker and Eric Kendricks. Yeah. These guys aren't playing every single snap, and I think it's put their projected tackles on these props a little lower than they should be, and the matchup just this is one of those games where I'm pretty sure Singleton and Jewel are going to spend a ton of time on the field racking up tackles. And it's just set up that way. I like that one too.
Yeah, that's a good call. Love that. All right, I'll get us out of here on this last one here. So I am going to go to Seattle and Washington, and I'm going to take Devin Witherspoon over 3.5 combined tackles. It is -160. So once again, parlay it, round robin it. He's hit this 5 of the last 6 games, and this kind of blew my mind when I saw this, but the Washington Commanders are the 9th overall passing attack in the league. When did that happen? They target their wide receivers the 3rd most overall, so Witherspoon should see plenty of action this week. In fact, they have 212 wide receiver targets through 9 games. That's about 24 a game. Witherspoon sees a third of that, gets a couple few tackles, we're good. Seattle is favored by a touchdown. Commanders, Seattle's coming off a bad loss too. I think this is a get right game for them against a frankly crappy team. The Commanders should end up in negative game script, be forced to abandon whatever, you know, semblance of a run game they had in to begin with, and just throw every down anyway. Vegas seems to think so with the 45 point over under as well. They think there'll be some points here and some offense. So it's 4 combined tackles for Devin Witherspoon against the top 10 passing offense. I think that's totally doable.
He's playing a lot more slots these days. And so, I mean, that's really going to help his tackle numbers. But yeah, I mean, that's Washington every single game, right? They get down and then they just air it out and they make a game of it. I mean, you know, but yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah. And, you know, Adam, you're talking about them airing it out. I mean, they run the ball just 35% of the time. I mean, you know, they literally barely run the ball, enough to even be qualified as an NFL rushing attack. They throw it a ton. Witherspoon is a phenomenal player. But in the eyes and minds of an NFL head coach, he is still a rookie and he will still get targeted until they eventually learn their lesson. And so we'll take that all day long. You know, in the heat of the moment, they're going to test the rookies. We've seen this time and time again. There's a lot of talk about the whole like rookie corner rule and how valuable, that is, or how that actually works out. To me, one of the big ways it works out is you have to be, you can't just be a rookie corner. You have to be a talented rookie corner that plays a ton of snaps and that will get tested and come through in those tests. And that's Devin Witherspoon. And I definitely think they're going to YOLO it his way, you know, and this is one of those ones I think where it's like, I can see them trying to establish the run early. Because Seattle is more susceptible to the run than they are the pass, although they're really not good against either one at the moment. And then I see this prop being one of those ones where you go into halftime and Witherspoon has one or maybe two tackles. And then in that third and fourth quarter, you know, this starts to ring like a slot machine as they just have to pass.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely, man. I love it. And you're so right about that. I don't really call it the rookie corner rule anymore. I call it the lesser of two evils rule. Because you know what I mean? Because from their mindset, it's the lesser of two evils. I'm throwing at a guy that's been here for 2 months instead of 5 years or whatever. And it works for us.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to make a stupid baseball reference to the fact that rookie rookie hitters just get fastballs, you know, and they just, so you see all these rookies hitting home runs left and right, and they look like, you know, and even though they keep hitting home runs, veteran pitchers will still just throw fastballs at them until, and then eventually they throw the curve, and then these guys are out of the game in 3 years. But that first year is quite amazing, and Witherspoon's going to be around for a while. But point being is that veterans, they're like, I don't care how good this kid thinks he is, I'm still going to throw at him. And we, you know, this is one of those games, I think.
Do we think that Witherspoon is the cornerback one in Dynasty? I mean, who even is his competition at this point? I mean, it's, I guess Legarius Sneed would still be, I guess, lingering if you're, but he's really, his role is switched and he's really not what he was. But I mean, who's even the next corner up after Witherspoon? I mean, as I like to call him.
Tyreek Stevenson is pretty solid, but he's not Witherspoon, that's for sure. It probably is Witherspoon. It probably is. This thing changes so much, though. I was convinced it was Tariq Woolen before the season started, and look how wrong I was on that, right? So who the hell knows?
I think you might be right, Adam. I mean, you know, let's talk about Sneed here. He's a great example of this. Last year, he was a dominant tackler because he played so much in the slot, right? They were, and then about a month left into the season, they switched him to being much more, you know, a wide corner. And then this year, he's basically played almost exclusively out there. And they've got, I'm blanking on their slot corner.
Oh, McDuffie.
Yeah, I've made so much money off of betting on Trent McDuffie this year, you know, with him basically playing kind of the Sneed role. And Sneed is playing really well, but every single year even game to game, the secondary can change so much, which is why it's so hard for us to pinpoint any cornerback to have any sort of consistency year in, year out. I think you have to really be playing at a high level to stick outside and know that you're going to be there for a long time. And I definitely think Witherspoon is that guy. So yeah, when it comes to corners, I mean, it's hard to picture somebody else holding that moniker now. He's killing it in his rookie year. He's probably going to have that spot locked up for years. And Seattle's got a lot of work to do before they're a dominant defense again, which means he should be playing a ton of snaps.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Hey, let's give you the floor here. So I'm on the IDP Show Network. They know me. They know Adam. Mr. Varnes, where can we find your work? What do you do in season? The floor is yours.
Well, as you guys have graciously mentioned, I'm one of the IDP analysts over at fantasypoints.com, the website run there by, you know, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Graham Barfield, all those guys. I handle the other side of the ball over there. You can catch me on Guru in the Morning, John Hansen's Sirius XM radio show from time to time. And then obviously you can follow me on Twitter at DownWithIDP. And, you know, this year has been fun. You know, last year I did a lot of defense and special teams along with IDP. This year I've shifted most of that over to props. And, you know, look, if you've been playing IDP casually in IDP leagues and betting hasn't come to your state yet, just know that you are building up a massive amount of experience that's going to help you soon when betting gets to you. And all these IDP props pop up of guys you know very well because you've been playing in IDP leagues and a lot of your neighbors have not been. So I think we've all been enjoying all these IDP props. So that's been more of my focus, as well as obviously just the regular IDP stuff over at Fantasy Points.
That's awesome. That is good stuff, man. And we are very thankful that you came on this week. Mr. Markham, any parting words?
Yeah, Mr. Varnes, you are an absolute legend. Very thankful to have you on the episode with us. You're welcome anytime you want. This is a blast. You really crush it tonight. And I thought we did a great job, guys. I thought this was with 10 plus, you know, strong bets. I mean, I think we should all be millionaires after this weekend. So. Good job.
You guys, well, yeah, I mean, nobody's going to see us again because pretty soon all three of us are going to own private islands if this keeps going. So catch us while you can before you're like, what happened to those guys? I don't know. I think I saw Adam drive by in a Maserati. It went very quick and that was it. So that'll be us hopefully very soon. If you see us in 12 years and we're still on here, then you should feel sorry for us.
Well, that's beautiful. All right, fellas. Thanks again. Good luck, everyone. Good luck in week 10. We'll see you when we do this again. What, Adam? Week or two? Couple, few weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever. Whenever you guys want to.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah.
Thanks, guys, so much for having me on. Love the IDP show. Big fan of both of yours. I love what you guys are doing, putting all this great IDP stuff together in one central location. We need more of that kind of stuff. So thanks for holding the IDP fort down for us. Definitely want to come back anytime you guys want me.
Thank you, man.
Sounds good. Take care, everyone. Have a good one.